Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to our service, and a special welcome to all visitors we have with us this morning. Following this service, we have a congregational meeting to elect the committee whose responsibility it will be to find our next minister. It's very important this committee is representative of the entire congregation, and I would encourage everyone to remain behind and participate in this. Following that meeting, and not until it's done, coffee will be served in the main hall, where there will also be a tradecraft stall. Any visitors are welcome to hang around at the back and then go through. Intimations are printed on the orders of service. I would highlight the service at Deeside Care Home this afternoon, which will be led for the first time by Alan Johnson. It's always good to have support of members of the congregation at these services. Finally, in support of Cancer Research UK, Debbie Gordon and two of her girls are participating in a Muddy 5K. And this is in memory of her sister Lindsay, and that's happening next weekend. To that end, Debbie will be trying to persuade you to part with just £1. And if she hasn't got you already, I'm sure she'll catch you at coffee time. This morning's service is to be led by the Reverend Kenneth Petrie. Kenneth is minister at Craigie Buckler Church, and he's been appointed for his sins to be our interim moderator for the duration of our vacancy. Ken, welcome to Culskirk.
Thank you, Graeme, very much. Yeah, there's nothing to do at Craigie Buckler, so you just get another job to add on to what you're doing. You see that? That's how it works. It's a pleasure to be here this morning to conduct worship, and then afterwards to conduct the meeting at which we will elect the nominations committee. We join together to worship God. In the telling of stories and in signs, Jesus is among us. In this place and in this moment, Jesus is among us in joy. We join to sing hymn number 609, Come Living God When Least Expected.
Thank you.
Well, good morning. Oh, it's a stranger. Quick, stranger alert. I have a question for you this morning. Can you tell me what... Oh, it's all right, I'm not going to ask anyone. I'm asking you all. Is that okay? And then anyone can answer it.
Yay.
Even the grown-up boys and girls can answer it if they like. Do you think they'll answer the question?
No.
No. I think you're probably right. Something was happening this week that was really, really important. Does anyone know what happened this week that was really important? Something that all the grown-ups, I hope, took part in. I will make no other comment than that. Does anyone know? The election, absolutely right. Did you sit up all night to see the results coming in? No. You went to bed. Yeah. You went to vote, though. I knew they were bringing out the youth vote, but that's taking it to new depths of age. The election. Yes, there was an election this week. And what does that mean? I was told to try and keep the service short this morning so that we could get on with the meeting. An election. Well, we have a government, and they're the people who help to... who make decisions about what's to happen in the country. That's the government. And we have to go and elect them. Which means we have to decide which person is going to be our MP, our Member of Parliament. Now, at the end of the service, the grown-ups are going to elect a nominations committee to choose a new minister for cults. So it's exactly the same sort of idea. So they're going to elect, and that's what an election is. Your granddad's doing that. Good. You know the old adage, never work with... That's excellent. So the election took place, and this morning I want to just talk to you a bit about expecting the unexpected, because the result of the election was unexpected. I could make a comment and say we are now in utter chaos, and I suspect we are going to remain in utter chaos for some time to come. But what people thought was going to happen didn't happen. Yeah, terrible. So that was unexpected. When something happens that we don't think is going to happen, that's unexpected. And the result of the election was unexpected. Now, yesterday, there were two sporting events that took place. Does anyone know what the two sporting events were that were on TV yesterday? Come on then. Yep, Scotland v England in football, and the other one was? It wasn't the tennis I was thinking about. We had no interest in the tennis yesterday.
Rugby.
Scotland versus Italy in the rugby. Now, Scotland won the rugby. Scotland were losing the football, and then in almost the very last minutes of the game, they scored two goals, so they were winning 2-1, and then in the very last minute of the game, England scored another goal and we got a draw. You really have to expect the unexpected. We can never, ever fully hope that what we think is going to happen is what will happen. Sorry?
It doesn't matter if you win.
It doesn't matter if you win. That's an excellent lesson to learn. Yes. Jesus, disciples, they had to learn to expect the unexpected. Things were always happening when they were with Jesus that they didn't think would happen, that they didn't expect to happen. And that happened to them all through the time they were with Jesus. It happened after he died, because he then rose from the dead. And that wasn't something, although they'd been told he was going to do it, they really didn't expect it to happen. But it did. And then they were fishing beside the Sea of Galilee. And who should suddenly be there but Jesus? They didn't expect it, but he was there. And then last Sunday, we were all at the park, weren't we? Just about 12 o'clock, and we were celebrating Pentecost. And that is another day when we remember that the church should always be ready to expect the unexpected. Because at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus, came into the disciples' lives and completely changed them. They were scared, they were frightened, they didn't know where they were going, they had no idea what they were going to do. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit rushed into their lives and everything became suddenly clear. The unexpected had turned them into new men and new women to go out into the world to tell other people about Jesus and how much he loved them. In the church, in our lives, in the things that happen to us, we should always be ready to expect the unexpected. Those things that we think, that'll never happen. And then suddenly it just sneaks up on you, and it has happened. And it's a wonderful thing when something unexpected flashes into our lives and completely changes everything. So I hope you enjoy yourselves when you go through. We hope not to keep you here too long, for those of you who have got mums or dads or granny and granddads who are going to be voting. So you might have a bit longer. Yeah, you might manage. Everyone else is going to have to wait longer today for their coffee. You folk might manage to get juice and biscuits long before we ever get any sign of juice and biscuits. You never know. We're now going to sing hymn number 590, Holy Spirit, Gift Bestower.
Thank you. kids are going out, if I could make one quick announcement. Holiday Club is coming up soon, and I've been mentioning it, you've been seeing it in your orders of service. One of the things that we cannot do for Holiday Club is we can't do without volunteers. We need people to come and help. And we have all sorts of different roles to do. Some of them will be working directly with the children. So if you feel like you want to give that a go and be with the children, help guide them through crafts and activities and things, we need people like that. We also need people who might not interact with the children much. If you don't feel like that's your thing, we need people in the kitchen to help us prepare snacks and things like that, or to help us set up tables or to take down tables, all sorts of different roles. Next Sunday after church, if you're interested in helping out, and I do hope you would, we'll have a quick talk just after the service where I will give out sort of the job descriptions of volunteering. And whether you can help one day or 2 days or all 5 days of Holiday Club, give it a think this week. And next Sunday after church, just 5 or 10 minutes, we'll talk through some of those volunteers and we'll get that on the go so we can have a wonderful Holiday Club for all our kids. Thanks.
Thank you. We join together in prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, all-powerful, almighty, all-loving, we praise you that you are here among us as now we join in worship. You are here as the creative, loving Father who watches over his creation and his children. Here as the eternal Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. Here as an ever-present reality through the daily experience of your Holy Spirit at work in us and through us. Forgive us for the times when we have lost sight of your living presence in our lives and in the life of the church. Open our eyes afresh to all that you are and everything you are doing in us, in the church, and in the world. Gracious God, you have made yourself known to us in Christ, demonstrating the immensity of your love and the awesome extent of your mercy. Yet still, sometimes, our faith grows cold. You have offered us a new beginning, renewal and redemption through his life-giving sacrifice. Yet still, time and again, we go astray. Draw closer to us through the risen Christ and inspire us with a vision of what life can be like through his grace. Living God, inspire us through the life-giving presence of the Holy Spirit, so that we may walk boldly into this day and every day with faith and purpose. Help us to forget self and to look outwards, so that we might bring light to those for whom life seems dark. Teach us to live this and every day in the warmth of your presence, illuminated by your radiance, refreshed by your cleansing touch, and renewed by your power. Loving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, help us to be aware of your presence amongst us, to see you, hear you, know you, and love you. And so may we offer you fitting worship and service. Meet with us now in all your glory, and help us to meet with you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And hear us as now we pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our reading this morning will be read by Anne Middleton.
Our reading this morning is taken from the Gospel according to John, reading from chapter 21 at verse 1, and this can be found on page 144 of the Pew Bible. John 21 at verse 1. Listen for the word of the Lord. Jesus appears to seven disciples. After this, Jesus appeared once more to his disciples at Lake Tiberias. This is how it happened. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael, the one from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples of Jesus were all together. Simon Peter said to the others, "I am going fishing." "We will come with you," they told him. So they went out in a boat, but all that night they did not catch anything. As the sun was rising, Jesus stood at the water's edge, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then he asked them, "Young men, haven't you caught anything?" "Not a thing," they answered. He said to them, "Throw your net out on the right side of the boat, and you will catch some." So they threw the net out and could not pull it back in because they had caught so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Peter heard that it was the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken his clothes off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples came to shore in the boat, pulling the net full of fish. They were not very far from land, about 100 meters away. When they stepped ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and some bread. Then Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net ashore full of big fish, 153 in all. Even though there were so many, still the net did not tear. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. So Jesus went over, took the bread, and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This then was the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Thanks be to God for his holy word. Amen.
Thank you, Anne. We join to sing hymn number 584, "Like fireworks in the night, the Holy Spirit came."
In the night, the Holy Spirit.
Well, it's all over. At least the election is. Although if you've seen your Sunday Times this morning, the cartoon on the front page of the Sunday Times has a polling station and a notice outside it saying, open every Thursday. That may not be as funny as it seems. We might very well have been hoping that life would now get back to normal. I suspect that given the number of votes we've had over the last 3 years, many are suffering from election fatigue and will be only too relieved for some semblance of normality. However, given the nature of the election result and the fact of the impending negotiations with the European Union, nothing going forward looks either normal nor certain. We live in times of great change and challenge, uncertainty and anxiety. The future is an unsettling and uncertain place, perhaps more so than usual. And in these circumstances, we may very well look for, long for, a degree of normality in which we can take hold of the familiar patterns, things and routines of life. There's nothing unusual in this. It is the natural human response to change and uncertainty. It was like that for the disciples at a time when life had taken them full circle back to where they started, to Galilee and fishing, back to plying their trade, working hard at what then and now would have been hard, dangerous work. There was no guarantee of success for all their efforts, as our reading this morning shows. It was full circle back to the place where they had first met him 3 years before, and where they had answered his call, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. It had been an interesting, exciting, adventurous, challenging 3 years. But now it was over, and so the disciples returned to the familiar, to their homes in Galilee and the familiar routine of fishing. He had said he would make them fishers of men. But how was that ever to happen now? So back they went to fishing for fish in the waters of Galilee. In times of bereavement, such as the disciples were experiencing, it can so often be the familiar routine, that sense of normality that helps us through. It's a cliche to say life carries on. A cliche that may not be terribly helpful to those traversing the dark veil of death. But there is, as in many cliches, an element of truth, that the familiar things of life, the routines, the people, the daily activities can be the very things that get us through not only times of bereavement, but other times of difficulty, change, and trauma in our lives. That was how the disciples coped. They went back to what was familiar. They'd been told to go to Galilee. Matthew and Mark, in their account of the resurrection, tell us that the women went to the tomb and that they were sent back to the disciples with the message that Jesus had risen from the dead and would go ahead of them to Galilee, where they would see him. So it was to Galilee they returned, to the place where, for many of them, it had begun. And they waited. And while they waited and hoped they would see Jesus, Peter decided it was best to go fishing, to do something familiar. And it was absolutely in keeping with Peter's character to do that. Peter's the one who always leaps in, opens his mouth before he engages his brain, acts before he thinks. So he's the man of action, and he says to them, "I am fed up sitting here doing nothing. Let's go out. I'm going off fishing." And the others decide that they will go with him. And it's while they were employed in that familiar task that Jesus appeared to them. As Jesus so often meets us in the familiar things, places, and people of life. If our hearts and our minds are open to the possibility. At first, they didn't recognize him. Possibly because in their heart of hearts, they really weren't expecting to see him. He was just a man on the shore asking them if they had caught anything and directing them to where they might have better luck. When they did, their net was full, so full they were unable to haul it abroad. It was then that John recognized who this was and that Peter jumped into the water to get ashore as quickly as he could, forgetting the catch, leaving his companions to cope with the work. He was so desperate to get to Jesus. And there Jesus was on the shore, a fire burning with some fish already cooking and bread for breakfast, to which was added some of the new catch. It was more than the early light of dawn rising over the Golan Heights that the disciples found that morning. A beautiful sight, 5 o'clock in the morning on the Sea of Galilee, as the sun comes up over the Golan Heights on the far shore from Tiberias. But it was more than that. They saw a new light. A new light that dawned in their lives, the light of the risen Christ, the light of spiritual understanding and awakening. In the final act of this part of the story, Jesus served the disciples breakfast. The master who commands them also serves them as he has done in the past. Yet another object lesson in the service required of those who would follow him. Another sign that Jesus is the servant king. In this appearance to 7 of the disciples, we see the characteristics of Jesus' ministry shown in John's gospel. His lordship, his servanthood, his character as gracious giver of abundance and his love. For us today, the story remains a potent symbol of our calling to be the followers of Jesus and what that means in our lives and the life of the church. For we are called to be the servant representatives of the servant king with all the challenges and opportunities that brings us. Here at Cults, you're about to enter a period of vacancy as Ewan, your much-loved and respected minister, retires after 12 years as minister at Cults and 35 years of service in the ministry. It will be for him and for Joan a time of great change and adjustment in their lives, following a lifetime of service in a role that is at one and the same time a great privilege, but also demanding of one's time, energy and resources, spiritual, emotional, physical. In the next few months, they and you are going to go through a period of loss. It is often said that a vacancy, the breaking of the bond between minister and people, can be akin to a bereavement. This will be a period of challenge for you as you become accustomed to life without Ewan at the helm. It will be an uncertain time as the nominations committee, which we will shortly elect, looks for a new minister to serve at Cults. Please give them the space and time to do their work. Don't keep asking them how they're getting on because the process, by its very nature, has to be confidential. And if you do ask them how they're getting on, that answer, that question will probably be met with the time-honoured words, "We're doing as well as we can be expected." It's not only the medical profession that can come up with that answer. These next few months, and I hope it will be months, will be anxious ones for you, for there are no guarantees in today's church as to how long a vacancy will last, how many, if any, applications will be received, or how easy it will be to find the candidate whom the nominations committee feels is the person God is calling to serve him in this congregation and parish. But this will also be a period of opportunity for you. For a vacancy brings with it the opportunity for a congregation, as a group of diverse people, to come closer together, work together, serve together. For believe it or not, it isn't necessary for a congregation to have a minister to work effectively. There are many congregations across the country which have had prolonged vacancies, some for many years, with no hope that they will ever be in anything else other than a vacancy situation. But the work of the church in those places hasn't come to an end because there's not a minister. In fact, when you hear folk from some of these congregations speaking, you might wonder why we have ministers at all. Because some of them would say they've been getting on absolutely great without one, because they've all had to step up to the mark and take on responsibility for things they had never done before, but which they have discovered they have the gifts to do. So it is a time of opportunity to come together more closely, to offer leadership, and to continue the worship, mission, and outreach of the church despite the absence of a minister. But there's one other thing we must take into account as we face the future and tackle the issues that vacancy raises, which we find in the symbolism of Jesus meeting with the disciples at Galilee. Jesus fed them. He met their physical need for breakfast after a night working on the Sea of Galilee. But in the sharing of fish and bread, he was also symbolically meeting their need to be spiritually fed. We are equipped for mission and service to the world when we allow Jesus to feed us with the spiritual food of his Spirit, through our worship, through our devotional life of reading and prayer, through engaging with one another in study and discussion, as we seek to understand better the Bible and the relationship we have with God in Christ. Last Sunday, as we know, was Pentecost. We had a wonderful time at Pentecost in the park. It was the day when we celebrated the fact that the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and the church with power, enabling them to progress beyond all the doubt, fear, and uncertainty they had felt since Jesus' death. They were no longer the frightened, unsure, doubting bunch they had been, but now they went out into the world to proclaim the good news of the kingdom, of Christ crucified and risen with new hope, promise, and vision. In this impending time of vacancy, Cults Kirk will continue to reach out and serve the community. It will remain united and focused as it, as you, are open to the leading and vision of the Spirit. He will be at work through this vacancy process, in the work of the nominating committee, in the continuing work of the congregation. And it is the Spirit who will bring to the fore that person whom God is calling to be his minister here at Cults. Food for the body enables us to live our lives. Food for our souls enables us to live the life of faith, to live the life of Christ in today's world. That is what we are called to do. And that is what, with the Spirit's help, you will continue to do here at Cults during the vacancy and beyond. Amen. May God bless to us this preaching of his word, and to his name be glory and praise forever. We continue to worship God as we bring to him our offerings. Of God, at a time of uncertainty and change, a time of anxiety and fear for the future, you swept into the apostles' lives as a mighty wind and burning flames, transforming them forever by your renewing power. You brought them new hope, new faith, and a new vision for the future, so that their world was alive again with newly refreshed promise. You came to those looking to serve you, but uncertain of the way forward. To those who believed you could use them, though they didn't know how. To those who recognized the future was full of opportunities to serve you, but who doubted their ability to respond. And suddenly the future was clear. Confidence radiated from them as you touched their lives with power from on high. At this moment in time, in the life of this congregation, as they prepare for the retirement of a much loved and respected minister, and for life without him, we pray for Ewan and Joan as they prepare for this new stage in their lives, that you will uphold them as they face the changes and challenges retirement will bring. We pray also for ourselves, the folk of Cults Kirk, that in the sense of loss we will feel, in the feelings of uncertainty and anxiety about the future, in the challenges and opportunities of a period of vacancy, you will be present with us, guiding, directing, encouraging, and enabling us to remain faithful to our calling as your people in this place, that the life, work, and mission of your church will continue to reach out to all in our community with your compassionate and all-encompassing love. Holy Spirit of God, continue to be the supplier of vision, the meter of challenge, the calmer of fear, the bringer of hope, the upholder of faith, the provider of love, that your church will be strengthened and enabled in her continuing service to Christ and the world. As we gather here to worship you, we do not separate ourselves from the world, but that through you we may be equipped to better serve Christ in the world for which we now offer our prayers. We pray for our nation in a time of political, economic, and social uncertainty following the general election and the impending negotiations with the European Union. We pray for those who assume the mantle of leadership, that they will work with people across the spectrum of society in the common interest of our nation and people. We pray for those in our local community and wider world, remembering those affected by the terror attacks in Manchester and London. All who are suffering, lost, and anxious, that they will be supported, encouraged, and receive new hope through the practical help of family, friends, and strangers. And all the expressions of sympathy, compassion, and love through which we see your love at work in the world. Holy Spirit of God, continue to be present with us as we journey with you in faith, directing, empowering, and envisioning us for Christ's service in the world. In his name we pray. Amen. We conclude our worship by singing hymn number 511, Your Hand, O God, Has Guided Your Flock From Age to Age.
Oh,
now may the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore.